Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Grayscale Gorilla podcast. I think this is episode number 5. If you're new to the podcast, in the Grayscale Gorilla podcast, we usually end up talking about how to be creative, how to do the best work that you can do, and sometimes how to get paid to do that work too. So that's usually what we end up talking about. I'd like to thank you guys for stopping by, and let's get right into it. The first thing I'd like to talk to you guys about is that the podcast in general, I wanted to kind of talk about what usually shows up on the podcast. I guess I said that in the intro a little bit, but what this podcast won't be is a lot of technical stuff. How to use software, what buttons to push, what computer to buy, should I use Photoshop or should I use Lightroom or should I use Cinema or should I use 3ds Max? I'd like to gear the questions and the podcast to more general creative stuff. And what I mean by that is, I think that all creative people run into the same problems and have the same questions. Not just motion designers, not just 3D artists, not just photographers, not just artists and designers and painters and all these people, writers. I think these people kind of have similar questions about what it's like to do what you really, really love to do, but also maybe make a career out of it, make money out of it, and also organize your life around it, really. Because these people, these artists, these people that are passionate about what they do, ideally, hopefully, they will design their life around what they love to do and maybe even support themselves with it. So I'd like to keep those questions in the podcast kind of geared toward that side. Now, the tutorials, if you haven't been to the site, I do a lot of technical tutorials and a lot of Cinema 4D stuff and some After Effects stuff on my site, and that will continue to be there. But as far as this audio stuff, I'd like to gear it more towards the questions that hit everybody and all creative people. And there's a couple other reasons. This is obviously an audio-only podcast. Now, you guys can see me on video if you're watching live. But when it's recorded, it's audio-only, and it's really hard to talk about technical stuff like what buttons to press and how to make stuff in Photoshop or whatever without seeing a screen. So obviously, that's tough. Frankly, I think this is more fun to talk about in a lot of cases. The software changes, and don't get me wrong, I have a lot of fun playing with software and learning it, and especially Cinema 4D and all this stuff. But I think that I'd like to talk about these topics, and I hope you guys like it too. So keep the questions coming, let's move on. Let's move on. So the first thing I want to talk to you guys about is the answer to almost every question when people ask me, should I do this or should I do that? Should I be a generalist or should I really focus in and be into one thing? Or I also get the question, should I be a 3D artist or a photographer? I really like doing both. Or do I need to learn how to draw in order to do what I like doing? And in almost every case, the answer to that is do what you like to do. Do what you're most passionate about. If you have an instinct to pick one or the other, that's the one you should do. So in other words, I can't draw. And I'm on the mind that it's not that I can't draw because I'm born with it. I can't draw. It's because I don't like drawing, right? And I don't put the hours in and spend the time to sit and focus on it. And that's it. And so with all of these things, let's take the generalist or specialist topic. I get this one a lot. And the question is, should you be really good at a lot of things or be kind of good at a lot of things or be really good at one specific thing? And I think the same answer applies, which is it depends on what you like to do. So me personally, I'm kind of scatterbrained. I like to learn a little bit about photography and then do 3D and then play a little bit with After Effects and then learn a little bit of code and then do a little bit of recording and play guitar. And like, you know, my mind skips around to a bunch of stuff. And other people I know are focused on one thing, and they become experts in that very, very specific thing. And there's really no way to engineer your way into the perfect situation, right? So if I were to actually tell you, you know, specialists get paid more or have more fun or whatever, right? That's really what you want to do. I think the answer, which isn't the answer, by the way, I think the answer, no matter what anybody else says, is always, what do you like to do the most? And you should follow that path. There are exceptions to this, right? There are exceptions. Like if you really, the thing you really, really, really love to do most is play video games all day, well, maybe you could become like an expert video game person, but the odds are, right? Or let's say, you know, you like sleeping most of the day. Now you could become an expert sleeper, but do those goals align to, you know, getting paid for what you like to do? Probably not. But if you're talking about 2-3 things that are legitimate careers in a way, you know, I really, really want to learn how to animate characters in 3D, but I also want to learn After Effects or whatever, right? Well, I wouldn't say that you need to pick one. I would say that if you're interested today in learning After Effects or photography, let's say, pick up a camera and go shoot. That's the very best thing you're gonna do for your creative career and your creative path, is to follow what your insides are telling you to follow. So let me give you a scenario. I was going to school. It's not a scenario. It's actually a story from my personal life. I was going to school for motion design and for filmmaking, kind of one of those careers, you know, one of those degrees that kind of they teach you a little bit about everything. But specifically, they were telling me and teaching me about web stuff, filmmaking, how to use video cameras, how to do switchers at a TV station, and then a little bit of After Effects and a little bit of Photoshop and stuff like that. And I got obsessed with photography. Now, there was no photography class. There was no, you know, photography the equipment. I couldn't rent it. I couldn't ask a teacher about it. I had to go get really interested in it and kind of learn on my own. And I eventually ended up with a digital camera, and I ended up shooting a lot of stuff. And that, as a decision, like if as a rational decision, probably wasn't the best use of my time, right? Because you have to keep in mind, if you choose to do one thing, you can't do another thing because there's time in the way, right? So to walk around with a camera and shoot hundreds of photos a day, come home and edit hundreds of photos a day, and pick a few of them and play around with them in Photoshop and post them to a website, and I posted one photo a day on my site. That was the original Grayscale Gorilla. That, as a rational way of thinking, probably wasn't the best use of my time if my goal was to become a motion graphics artist, which it was, which is why I was going to school, which was why I moved to Chicago and did all this stuff. But I followed what I really wanted to wake up and do almost every day, was bring my camera everywhere and shoot everything. Now, I still went to school and I still did my projects. I still did a crap ton of After Effects work, and I still learned a whole bunch of stuff like that. But a huge chunk of my day was spent walking around taking photos. And like I say, logically, is that the rational decision? If I were to ask somebody at that age, hey, I'm really interested in photos, and I'm really interested in motion design, and I'm going to school for motion design, what should I focus on? Well, that person might have said, well, you don't, you know, pick one and go for it, right? But I can't tell you how much I learned by walking around shooting photos all day. Now, was it directly applicable to 3D, or was it directly applicable to After Effects? No, I didn't even use my photos in my motion work. All my motion work is like really simple stuff. I didn't even use my photography. But the things that I learned in the composition, or screw the things that connect in some way, right? Because there are a lot of things in photography that do influence design and do influence the way that I design and composition and color and things like that. But let's just talk about the idea that I had a thought in my brain or in my gut that I wanted to go do this once a day. And I think that is the voice you're supposed to be listening to. 9 times out of 10, you know, 99 times out of 100, the voice you should be listening to is the voice that tells you what you should be doing right now. And not what I'm supposed to be telling you, and not what if I, you know, you don't listen to me and say, well, you know, if you worked really hard and you were a character animator, you could get this really cool job. Or if you focused all your time and attention on being a director of photography, then you would be good at that, right? It doesn't make sense for me to tell any creative person or any kind of anybody to tell you what to do with your time and attention. So always, always, always focus on what you want to do. Let me give you another example, because I think that one got a little scatterbrained. I don't know if these things make sense to anybody. But let me give you one from today, which is my goal this morning was to wake up, work out, eat breakfast, and go to the office. And the office is downtown, where my office space. Instead, what happened is I woke up and I worked out and I ate breakfast, and I came into my home office to check on some email before I took off. And what I ended up doing was I got so inspired by an email that somebody sent me that had a request for a tutorial that I played around in Cinema 4D and I figured out the tutorial. Well, that wasn't the end of it. Not only did I play around with the tutorial, but I also made an animation on the tutorial. And then, not only that, but I made still images for the tutorial. And then I left. I was going to leave it because by then it was, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, and I almost left. And what I did instead was I thought about, what do I really want to do right now? Well, what I told myself I wanted to do and what I probably should be doing is walking to the train and going down to the office so I can get ready and record the podcast today and do all this. But instead, I was pulled to record the tutorial because I knew it would be really a really fun one. It'd be really cool and you guys would really like it. And that way I could get the tutorial up by tomorrow and all this other stuff, right? So again, you know, I don't know how much this one applies to the whole question, but I focused on what my gut was telling me to do at the time. And I think that again, is just the answer for almost everything, everything you ask. And I think when it comes down to it, people ask those questions, and I ask those questions. People ask questions like, should I be doing this or should I not? Because they're unsure. Because you're unsure of yourself, or you're unsure of your talent, or you're unsure of if you're wasting your time or not. And I guess what this means to me is you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your time. If you have something that you really care about and you have fun doing it, go do it. Go do it. Now, this brings us to kind of a second part of this, which is be very, very careful what you say yes and no to. In the same vein of do what you're passionate about, always do the thing that you have most interest on. Always do the thing that you're most passionate about. Always do the thing that you're most interested in doing. But then be very, very clear and careful what things you say yes to. And this brings us back to the time issue, right? You have a limited amount of time to learn and play and do work and do all these things. And when you're deciding, well, should I do this or should I do this? Think about that thing you really, really want to do today, and definitely lean towards doing it. But before you do it, and especially if there's other people involved, before you do that thing, be very, very clear what the outcome will be on that project. So if this is a project, right? If you're like, okay, I'm going to start a blog today. That's what I really want to do. Then the idea isn't just, do I really want to start a blog, or do I really want to spend all day learning how to install WordPress and PHP and do all this stuff? Really, really think about what this blog means. What this blog might mean is posting once a day or once a week or once a month, whatever you want it to do, whatever this outcome is. The outcome of the blog isn't to make a blog necessarily. It's to talk to people and maybe put your work out there, or talk about things that you like to talk about, or maybe it's about writing, or maybe it's about making fun of hipsters. I don't know what it is, but whatever this blog is, whatever this website is, you need to be very clear in your head what you're saying yes to mentally, because what you don't want to do is do another half-ass project. What you don't want to do is be very, very passionate about something and then dump it for the next thing that you're very, very passionate about. So when you're thinking about these things, you know, what should I do? Again, follow your instinct, but be very clear and understand that if your instinct is telling you to do something different every day, then you need to step away from the machine and think about what you want to accomplish. What is the end goal from all this stuff? Do you want to be better at, you know, do you want to be a better designer? Well, then, you know, go ahead and take photos, right? That will influence your design. But if you want to be a better designer, if that's your goal and your instinct is telling you to check Facebook again, you have to reconcile those differences and be very clear about what you're spending your time on. So be very, very clear what you say yes to. And this becomes projects as well. So I get a lot of, and you know, I bring myself up as examples, but truthfully, these are the only examples I know because I'm living them. But I get emails from people that want me to help with projects, or even hire me for projects. And I gotta be honest, I say no to over 95% of them. And that's because of time, right? So I have a limited amount of time to do things. But also, you have to say no to a lot of stuff to say yes to the things that are important. And I think Merlin Mann said this really well in his podcast, Back to Work. I'm forgetting what episode it is. He would probably know. Somehow he memorizes all that stuff. But he said, when he was actually talking about people emailing him and saying really nice things, you know, maybe I'm paraphrasing, hopefully I get it close enough, but he goes, he has to say no to most people in order to do the very, very awesome things that everybody likes, right? So in order to do these great things that people seem to like and they email him about, he actually has to say no to most people. And what that meant to him at the time was he has to say no to all these nice people emailing him and asking him for advice and asking him to help with projects or to speak for the school, whatever it was, right? And he has to say no to most of them in order to say yes to the right ones, and in order to put more creative energy into those specific things. Because and now, you know, I'm not speaking for Merlin at all, and I totally screwed up his quote, but I think the gist is there, which is you have to be very careful about what you say yes to when it comes to these projects. Let's head into another question. I'm trying to think if this was from, I think this is from Twitter here. And let's see, Max, it's Max Tarkhav. It's so hard when there's no spaces. Maxta Arkov. Man, I am screwing that up. And then the names, you know, you don't even know if they're girls or guys. So I'm just going to say he for now. Hope I'm not screwing things up. I'm assuming Max, he. Well, let's just get to the question and stop screwing things up here. He's saying, deciding on priorities. He says, should we learn by making projects, or should we learn by doing tutorials, or should we learn by going to class, or should it be a combination of everything? And I like this question a lot because it speaks to kind of some of these issues about of deciding what you like to do and going in that direction. And he brings up, you know, should you make your own projects? Should you watch tutorials, or should you go to class? And there are probably another dozens of other ways to learn and do stuff. But I would say that whatever speaks to you is where you should go. So if you need a class and you need other people around you to help and to talk to, then go to class. If you can learn from a book, get the book. I never did well with books. I always liked visual training and videos, tutorials and stuff like that. So I was a tutorial guy. I learned a lot of stuff from just watching people work. And really what's even better than a tutorial is just watching people work and then hearing them out loud say why they're doing their things. And really that's what I try to do in a lot of my tutorials is do the work, do the job that I'm going to tell you I'm about to do, but then just walk you through my process. I don't want to tell you step by step by step how to do things, but I do want to tell you why I'm making the decisions I'm making. And so I lean towards tutorials, but that's how I learn. I learn by watching people, and I learn by hearing why they made decisions. I also learn by doing my own projects. So giving myself small, short, creative projects that have a strict deadline and then doing them and learning as much as I can about that. Or even when I would have clients at my old job, clients would come up with ideas that I couldn't do at the time, and I had to go learn how to do them. So that was another good way. Classes, not so much. I didn't learn a ton from classes. I had a few specific teachers that I really, really liked. But really the answer to this is however you learn is how you should go do it. And it dawned on me just now that the answer isn't follow your gut or follow your brain. The real answer to all this, if you dig down into it, the real answer to this is trust yourself. Trust yourself to make the decision that will put you in a better situation in a week or two. So if you keep having gut feelings that you need to do this or you want to do this, trust yourself that you are making the correct decision and do it. You'll learn pretty quickly if it's a waste of your time or not. Or at least that's the idea. The idea is that you need to be very, very aware of how much time you're putting into something and what you're getting out of it, and then make a decision based on that experience, whether this is worth it or not, especially early on. So really, really choose, what you're feeling, and choose, you know better than anybody how you learn. If you look back at the teachers you liked, the videos you liked, the projects that you like to do, you know, hopefully by now, how you learn the most. Think of that one time where you just couldn't wait to go to sleep or to wake up, and you hated going to sleep because you wanted to keep doing this thing. And remember how that was. Think about what that was and do more of that. So hopefully there's something there for Max. Hopefully I got that name right. Thanks for the question, by the way. And Max asked the question on Twitter. just before the podcast. So I appreciate that. Jesse Jusek, Jesse J-U-S-E-K, has a question. Thanks, Jesse. He says, hey, Nick, I was wondering if you have always known exactly what it is you wanted to do professionally, or if you just made it up as you go along. And I made it up. I made it up as I went along. I knew for a long time that I wanted to do motion stuff. That was the only thing that has lasted. That's the one thing that's lasted the longest. And I'd even say that if you asked me really early on, I would have said I want to know everything there is to know about After Effects. And I did, you know, and I spent a lot of hours and years learning everything I could learn about After Effects. And right now I'm going through that process in Cinema 4D, learning as much as I can about the things, of course, about the things I want to learn about. And the only consistency between most of this stuff is it involves technology in some way, and it involves creativity in a small way, not a huge way. I'm not a huge white space kind of, you know, creativity guy, but I do like making my own stuff, music, photography, animation. Even this podcast is an example of sitting down and making something that I made. And those things seemed to be the thread that weaves all this other crap together. So, when you think about all the stuff that I'm into, or maybe you're into, there are probably some similarities. Like I said, the similarities for me is there's a piece of gear involved. There's a little piece of technology involved with it. And then there's making something for myself involved with it. And they're also short. So I get into things that are short, that don't take years to make. If I probably couldn't sit down and write a book or make a movie or even a 5-minute, you know, a 3-minute music video, right? These things span over months and months and months. I tend to focus on very, very short things. So to get back to Jesse's question, I don't know exactly what I want to do professionally. And I really never did. I figured out in my head that I wanted to head in the direction of learning After Effects. And I trusted my gut, to get back to what we were saying earlier. I trusted my gut and myself to say, well, I don't know where this After Effects thing is going to take me, but I'm going to go learn it. I'm going to go play with it because I'm having fun with it. And that's one of the most important pieces of this do what you like doing thing that we didn't even talk about, which I'm going to try to get back to Jesse's question, which I hopefully got half of an answer for. But one of the things we didn't talk about, this whole do what you like doing idea, is that when you do what you like doing, think about it like this. If you want to make money and make a career out of stuff that you like to do, why do anything else? Why get into this career? So now there's two parts I got to remember. Why get into a creative career where, let's face it, money doesn't flow around, right? Why get into this career just to get the job and just to make money, right? There are hundreds of other careers that will make you more money, right? You're getting into this because you like to do what you like to do. You want to do fun stuff and then also make some money from it, right? So why do anything anybody else said? So really, really concentrate on what you want to do, because this is your career. This is why you're getting into this. Learning how to animate characters just because you saw a job opportunity is not the reason to do it. And the reason is, and this is the reason I wanted to come back to this, the reason is there are other people competing with you that actually like doing the thing that you think you like to do, right? So if you heard somewhere that character animators made a lot of money and everybody's looking for one, right? And then you decided, because you kind of are into 3D and you're into making motion graphics or something, and you decided somehow that you're going to learn character animation or Illustrator or whatever it is because you think you have a job opportunity. You're competing with people that actually like doing character animation. And guess who wins in that case? Guess who kicks your butt? The person that actually likes what they do and they put the hours in, they put the time in, and they like doing it. And they probably have more experience. They have more fun with it. And with those two things alone, they're going to kick your butt because you know what? You're doing it because somebody said, you should learn it. And they're doing it because they wake up and they love animating characters all day. And you need to decide what that thing is for you. Because when you go up and you compete, and we get to the money side of things, when you get up and compete, and that's really kind of what you're doing is competing with other people, when you end up at that situation, you're going to win because you put the hours in. And you put the hours in because you like what you do. And man, I hope there's something there. I get to the end of these things and you'd think there'd be like an ending, you know? You'd think I'd have and that's that. I need like a catchphrase like, and that's that. No, that's, or I don't know, what's Forrest Gump, you know? And that's all there is to say about that or something. You know what I mean? I need that. Anyway, hopefully there's something there. I jumped around a bunch on that one. But hopefully there's something there. Let's check in with the chat room and see what's going on. Those questions have been from Facebook and from Twitter. And let's see what's going on in the chat room. If you guys have a question, go ahead and hit Q:, and then ask a question. And I'll try to deal with the Ustream chat room here, which has been kind of crazy. And we'll try to talk a little bit about it. All right, so let's go to, while the questions are coming in here. Looks like, Joe's here. Apache's here. That's awesome. All right. Here we go. Dino is asking, how did you get into motion graphics initially? And Dino, I will answer that with a story I probably told a few times, so I'll try to give you the short version. But when I was 21, I saw a short film by MK12 called Man of Action, and it was on a cable network called Burly Bear. And what Burly Bear was a bunch of short films, kind of, you know, before YouTube and all this stuff. It was a bunch of short films that would play on what would probably otherwise be infomercial time. You know, it's like 1 a.m. on TBS or something, and, or, you know, Channel 9. And what they played with short films and little skits and what else did they have? They have little TV shows and stuff, but it was kind of a college channel for like an hour or two. And one of the things they played was Man of Action by MK12. And at the end it said made with After Effects. And that's pretty much all I needed. And that set me on a path for years to just learn After Effects and figure out how they made stuff fly around in 3D and After Effects. And that's what got me into it. And that was 2001. So thanks to MK12. all right. Oh, and now we have technical questions. All of a sudden. Not doing those. All right. Let's get a couple more questions in here. This one's from Facebook. This is from Marcin Kazir. I know I screwed that one up too. How do you judge when the project is finished? When do you stop adding bits and pieces? And I think that's a good question for this kind of stuff. How do you judge when a project is finished? Well, I always find that the deadline is what makes it finish. with personal projects, it's very rare, with almost any project, with people that really, really love what they do, it's really rare for somebody to work on something and then decide that it's done. And what usually makes things done in my world is that I ran out of time. And in the professional career, that is one of the only things that makes a project done is time. There's always something more you could add to it. There's always something more you could take away from it that might make it better. There's always more time you could spend on the color correction. There's always more time you could spend on making the story better. There's always more time you could spend on any one of the aspects that you care about at this point for your project. But the thing that stops the project is just that. It's the end of the project. So however you decide to end a project, for me, it's a deadline thing. I think that drives most people. And I would say that it's really one of the keys in any project. When having a personal, even with personal projects, I think that one of the things I try to do is set a time, even for personal projects, and say, I'm going to launch this tomorrow, right? So we could look at the tutorial I made today. And, you know, I do most tutorials in one take. And these are limitations I set up on myself. And I think that deadlines is actually a shorthand for like limitation. You need to set limitations to your project or it will go on forever. So to come back to the tutorial I made today. Could it be better if I did it again? Maybe. It might be 5-10% better if I made another version of the tutorial. Would the color correction be better if I spent more time on it? Like if I spent 2 hours on it instead of a half an hour? Probably. But then you know what? I don't get the tutorial out. People don't get to watch it and blah, blah, and I don't get to move on to the next thing, right? So with all the situations, with all the projects you're doing, you have to realize that time spent on this is not time spent on anything else. And there's also a kind of a thing in play too, which is this, what do they call it? You know, it's like the 70-30 or 80-20 principle, right? Pareto's law, I think they call it. And what that means is, you know, 70% of the effort, or let's say it like this, 30% of the effort usually brings you 70% of the results. And in other words, you putting, it's always tough when you start talking numbers because you could talk both sides of it. You could say it like this too. Most of the project was done in 2 hours, let's say. Let's say it took you 2 hours to get most of the project done. And the project is about 90% completed. Which is great. You put 2 hours in and it's 90% awesome, right? Now, to make it 100% to make it 100% awesome doesn't require just a few more minutes. To make it 100% awesome, you need to work for another day, right? And nothing's 100% awesome, but to make it another 3% better might take you an hour to just tweak the colors just a little bit, right? Think about it like this too. And I think that Seth Godin brings this up as an example all the time. If you're a basketball player and you're learning how to shoot free throws, to be the best free throw person, you need to work hours and hours and hours and hours, right? To be that much better. So if you shoot, man, I picked something I don't even know the stats to. Let's move this to golf. At least I know the numbers behind golf. If you shoot par on golf, to get 10 more strokes off is going to take you a lot more time than if I take 10 strokes off my score, which I'm at around like 100, let's say. So you have to always consider, I'm doing circles here, but you always have to consider that your project needs to end sooner or later and you need to just pick a time and do it. Man. That was another one. That circles. I hope there's something in here. Why do people even listen to me? All right. Let's see what we got here. I know there was something in the chat room, but I hate to scroll to find it because I'm never going to find it here. How do you deal with difficult clients who want to design a project themselves? Muttley asked that question. That's a tricky one. If people's feelings didn't get hurt and if there wasn't all this stuff involved, you know, my smart ass answer would be you design it, jackass. But this is a frustrating situation because usually it's not a direct, you're not talking directly to the client, right? There's usually a producer or a job or somebody else involved with talking with them. And what happens sometimes is the designer is working on something, let's say, and then they hand it off to a producer and they hand it off to the client. And then the client makes changes and goes back through the producer. And the producer's job is to figure it out and maybe add money or do whatever and then come to you. Well, when the problems really, really come when the client is talking directly with the designer with a computer in the room. Now, when there's a client and a designer and they're talking about what is best, this is great. But when a client and a designer and the tool to make the stuff is in the room, it can get very, 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 very frustrating. I don't know. I dealt with this a couple times. Luckily, not as many times as some other people and some I hear horror stories. I sucked it up and I did it. You know, the client wanted to move things 2 pixels this way. And maybe what about green or what about darker green? What about lighter green? Green's not working. What about red? And, you know, part of me wants to say, well, here's the color wheel. Like, go at it. You know what I mean? But your job at the end of the day is in customer service. If you're going to work for clients, you need to do what they say at the end of the day. That's their, it's their money. It's their project. And if they want you to move it 2 pixels to the left, then you kind of have to move it 2 pixels to the left or have a conversation with them about why it should stay where it is and maybe convince them. And you could do that. But really at the end of the day, they make the decision. So what I ended up doing was just having a conversation with my producer and saying, I don't like being in that situation. I don't mind making changes. I don't mind working all night, but I can't have somebody behind me telling me which way to move the logo or I will go insane. I will freak out. And they did that. They made sure that if there were changes, I would do them. I'm not going to complain about making changes. But they're not going to sit behind me and move things 2 pixels to the left, right? And I just made that clear. Like I said, I didn't. What you don't want to say is screw them. It's this or nothing because that doesn't work. They're a client. They're paying you. They're keeping the lights on. And if they want to make it ugly, let them make it ugly. And if you want to convince them that they're making it ugly, maybe you can do that as well. That's an argument you can have too. You can walk into their room and say, well, hey, these are the reasons I want to keep it orange and not make it green. These are all fine decisions. But if you like working in a specific way, you need to tell people around you that you do like working in that way. And hopefully, if things work out for everybody, that they can put you in a situation where you do your best work and where you don't freak out on clients because that's the last thing anybody wants you to do, right? I would also be careful about what clients you pick. You may want to be extra careful about clients or put in rules that if you come back with changes more than 4 times, then we're adding money to this. If you're in a freelance situation or something, when you add money to things that you don't like to do, that's always a good idea. All right. So if you're in a freelance situation and You hate it when they come back and add another day of revisions. Well, just add money to that because it'll make it happen less. And as long as you're very clear up front and you say you have four times to make it, we could change it 100 times, or we could change it every time you come back. We can make another whole new design for you 4 times in a row. But after that 4th time, we're going to have to charge, or we're going to have to up your rate or pay, you know, charge the day rate or whatever. So if you come up against problems more than once, think about how you can not how you can squirrel out of the problem right now, but how you can make that problem go away in the future, either by talking with somebody that's in charge of that problem, like a producer or a boss, or adding money to it. And that, 'cause that's always a good way for them to think about, do I really want to pay this much more to move it 2 pixels to the left, or is it okay as it is right now? Good question. I don't even know where that came from anymore. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks for the question, whoever it was. Sorry about that. you know, I wanted to wrap. We're wrapping up here in a few minutes, but I wanted to talk about one thing James said on his podcast today, or his live show today. If you don't know James, he's from SignalNoise.com, and he's got a live show he does every most Thursdays, which is really great. He talks about kind of this stuff, but way more focused. he doesn't seem to go in 100 directions like I do, so definitely check it out. But he said when kind of talking about this jack of all trades thing, which we talked about earlier, you know, should you know a little bit about a lot of things, or know a lot about just one thing? And he said, you know, creative people shouldn't worry about what they do. Creative people shouldn't worry about, and that's what he said. And what I took from that, what I really resonated with me, is if you're in this to be a creative person, if you're doing this stuff because you like making things, then you really, really, really need to separate what you like doing from what people tell you you should be doing. And I thought that was a good way to say it, James, was don't worry so much about if you're doing the right thing or not. Just be very, very passionate in what you do. So I think that just about wraps it up. I'd like to thank you guys, as always, for hanging out, listening to me talk about stuff. I hope some of this makes sense. I'd love your feedback, you know, especially if you're walking around with this and I'm saying too much and I'm reading the chat room and all this stuff. You know, if you happen to get through this and you liked it, or even you hated it, please let me know. I'm always trying to make this a little bit better. I like to help. I just want to make sure the words coming out actually are coming out and going through the mic and being recorded and then ending up in your ears and they make sense. So thanks a bunch, guys, for listening to another episode of the Grayscale Gorilla Podcast. Again, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast and listen to more of me jabber on. So until next time, thank you guys again, and I'll see you soon. Bye, everybody.